Well, that's our theme music from Joe Cocker called Respect Yourself, with some great messages about respecting oneself and others as well. I'm host Sheldon Brown with technician Declan Curran, and this is a really big day for Take It From Us. This broadcast celebrates a 25th birthday, a really milestone birthday for Take It From Us. We've been broadcasting continuously for 25 years, and we're probably the longest standing mental health radio show that has been broadcasting that long. So it's a momentous day for award-winning mental health radio Take It From Us. 25 years of broadcasting a diversity of mental health perspectives to our community of listeners. It's a major milestone, broadcasting continuously for 25 years. And as I said, we're the longest running radio show in New Zealand to delve into psych stuffs. Take It From Us nails the key issues in mental health and identifies ambassadors for hope and recovery. Now, by great coincidence, Planet FM's broadcast manager, Terry Byrne, announced her retirement after 26 years at community radio and said at the time, "Media is a 24-hour-a-day job and I'm swapping the demands of this bustling radio station for the garden, travel and the time to indulge life's simple pleasures." She goes on to say it's been a huge challenge to take the station from a couple of reel-to-reel machines, and that would have been when Take It From Us was in this rather, what can we say, Terry, fairly basic studio.
That was actually in the basement of the Student Union building at AUT, and by the time Take It From Us came along, we had moved to new premises on the second floor of one of the blocks at AUT, and had what we thought of as sheer luxury by that stage. And we had three studios all together versus the one and only that we had in the basement. And we had, some reasonable facilities, but it was all very much analog in those days. None of this computer nonsense.
Right. So analog means?
The hardware that we're kind of used to, switching buttons and not using computers to generate or replay audio at all. Everybody having to manually engage with the gear.
Right, so you went from that sort of reel-to-reel manual nature of radio to a single studio with its current setup. But it did require, and it does require, those of us who are involved in radio to keep up with the momentum of change, with the momentum of technology. So Take It From Us has responded to those challenges as well through planetaudio.org.nz, which is the website for Planet FM, and our own connection through YouTube on the Framework website. So we connect to the world just like all the other community programs at Planet FM. And to do that, I had to learn how to edit the hour-long shows in the Planet FM editing studio to less than half their length and upload them to YouTube with a relevant photograph as well. Well, quite an achievement for a technophobe like myself. So we've just heard from Terry Byrne, who is the retiring broadcast manager here at Planet FM. She's our guest today because she remembers an approach from a Framework staff member, Suella Gray, to explore mental health issues through a regular program, a proposal which was somewhat revolutionary due to prevailing attitudes about mental health in the 1990s. Well, Terry, when you sort of got that approach, what was your response?
Well, I remember Suella, but not in terms of the moment of approach. I know that we consulted quite a lot with Framework Trust, with John Matthews, who was the general manager or whatever his title was at the time. And Suella, it was sort of a groundswell idea, I think, from her point of view, because the principle of community access broadcasting is that the voices of real people with things that they need to talk about and to be heard, are brought to the airways through this medium. And I think Suella's idea was that we would actually possibly for the first time hear the voices of those who were struggling with mental health issues or who had been through it and understood and could bring those stories to air. And that possibly came as a little bit of a challenge internally to Framework Trust. So we did spend a lot of time talking and consulting with the organisation, and then they agreed for it to go ahead, and Suella built a team with Erwin. Now, you need to provide me with surnames.
Yeah, Erwin Van Aspen, was with Toyora Arts for a long time.
Well, yes, but Erwin was with Framework Trust full-time at that stage, and Reed, who was one of the group's clients, and they... One of the things that that became apparent to me in talking with them was that it needed to be a no surprises environment. So for some of the, particularly for some of the clients that were coming in, some of those who were still struggling with their mental health issues, to go into a studio with lights switching on, noises coming through the speakers, having to wear headphones, these were all a little bit, you know, anxiety provoking. So I said to Suella, the thing I think we should do is that you should bring your team and we will book, as if you're going to be on air, we will book an hour's time in the studio for you just to sit there, talk amongst yourselves, switch things off and on, not make a radio show.
Right.
Just sit there and get used to the environment so that when the day came, they would, you know, they'd see the on-air light go on, or they would hear something come through their headphones or whatever, and it wouldn't be, you know, something that made them too nervous. So they did that, and we thought, that's good, they've done it once. They continued to do it for about 5 or 6 weeks, an hour a week.
Really? That's right.
And we were going, oh, that's a bit of a surprise.
Same people.
I think there was always actually a reasonably sizable team of about 5 people involved. And so they were sitting around and just discovering themselves in that space. So, of course, we said, well, you know, if that's how it needs to be, then off you go and do that. And then they finally came forward and said, like, okay, I think we're ready to give this thing a go.
Okay. And was it an hour-long show then?
Yes, I believe so. I think it's always been an hour.
Yeah, well, I suppose my approach with people with lived experience, and I'm one of those, is to try and meet them over a coffee, create an atmosphere which is relaxed, and give them an idea of, for me to get their story and to understand the extent of their lived experience and what they're doing, and then to put some questions to them beforehand to make them comfortable. And that seems, too, to be a way of bringing them into the studio, which can be very anxiety provoking. And I think it's important to try and make this a win-win situation in the studio rather than a win-lose, where somebody goes away thinking they've messed up, they've got very anxious about it. So that is one of the sort of realities, I guess, of mental health radio.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, really what's happening in radio, people say to me, you know, across the board we have over 100 programs and deal with a lot of people from all sorts of corners of our world. And some of them go, oh, no, I could never make a radio show. And I say, look, can you talk to your neighbour over the fence? Can you, you know, have a chat with your friends over coffee? And they go, yeah. I said, if you can have a conversation, then you can make a radio show. Because ultimately that's what it is. It's a public conversation.
Right. And really, it's you can just treat it as a conversation like we're doing today. There's really only 2 people in the studio. You don't have to think about the listeners, because one of the issues, I suppose, with Planet FM is you never know how many listeners are out there.
Well, in fact, we would always think about the listeners because the listener is the other party present in the conversation. And it's not about talking amongst ourselves about ourselves. It's about engaging them in the ideas of the conversation and always referencing them, at least in your head and quite often with a little additional pieces of information, so that it isn't a closed scenario. I think one of the things that's been a lessening of the effectiveness of radio to some degree, as some of the sort of teams that you get on commercial breakfast shows and stuff, where they're all giggling and playing amongst themselves. And I think, yes, meantime, the audience are sitting out there going, well, why am I not really at this table?
Right.
And so the audience is always the unseen presence at the table, and they, of course, are who we're doing this all for anyway.
Well, absolutely, and I always try and reference the listeners, and we had a book on offer last month, a book, a self-help book, and certainly we were wanting the listeners to be able to get access to that sort of well, self-help information. So, and we've also introduced community notices and lots of information about how you can help your mental health by, well, things like empowerment and hope and recovery, positivity, and therapies like mindfulness and meditation. I guess they weren't some of the things that were a focus in the early days of Take It From Us. It was probably more about getting the voice of those people with lived experience out there.
I think, well, we sit here on a campus that was once Carrington Mental Institution, Oakley Hospital, etc., and it came from, in many ways, a very Victorian position on mental health for a very long time. And I think certainly when the program first went to air, the status of mental health was that it was done to the patient, and that it was important for people to say, but this is not my reality. My reality is like this. I do have power and insight to bring, and I have experience to be shared. And the authorities, I think, were kind of more the focus in some ways initially. The authorities need to understand what it is to be in this position and model the services accordingly. And nobody knows more about what services are needed than those who are having them sort of plonked upon them. And this was an opportunity for them to say, no, it would have been much more helpful if, and they can say that, and to have a public voice from those who had been silenced utterly by the system for so long was really important.
It was the first broadcast was in April 1993, and I think Framework was formed as a community mental health organisation, an NGO working in the community in 1984. Some of the large psychiatric bins were still in the process of closing when this radio show opened, and I guess there was a lot of people who had been damaged by those big hospitals, and it is quite a coincidence really that Planet FM is established here, so close to what was Carrington and Oakley Hospitals.
Well, this was actually the doctor's house, and those buildings that are outside our studio window, so you have to imagine this, listeners, are just a couple of tiers of buildings that were for the nurses, and this was the duty doctor in here. And it subsequently became a temporary stay building, and it was quite interesting when we were rehabbing the building into a radio station, sort of to discover small pieces of evidence of people's time here.
Yeah.
And it was an interesting contrast, because people want respite stay sometimes, and it had clearly become quite difficult to get that. Basically, while they talked about the changing of the mental health environment, we're going to close the big institutions down. Oh, yes, and we will have facilities available in the community. There were very limited facilities available in the community. So people sometimes said, I just need, I need a week out of this madness. Come in here, give me some support and some shelter. So we have a multi-paned glass door at the front, and all but about three of those had been broken at some stage. And it became apparent that was both, I would like to leave, or I'd like to come in.
Right. And it was hard to do one or the other.
Yeah, you couldn't necessarily have your way on either count, so you had to do a little bit of forcing of the situation.
Yeah, well, I've actually interviewed people. Our ex-CEO at Framework had actually worked in this building, so, that was quite a coincidence. So obviously, your Planet FM's response to this request was very empathetic. You know, it sounds as though you were able to provide a very empathetic environment for people to become familiar with being on air.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this is what we're charged with, really. Our job is to offer people an opportunity to have their own voice. And to do that, everybody has to go through some kind of learning process. And it has to be one that makes them feel like they have that capacity and that it isn't a fearful process. And we train everybody who comes here. And they have to not only learn some technical things sometimes. Some of their shows are pre-recorded, a lot of them are live. But they have to learn the sort of disciplines of the medium and just how much they can do, but we have no determination over the content of the programs.
Right.
We're here for you and all of the program makers to have their own voice, and we facilitate that through training.
And I'd like to take this opportunity to thank you, Terry, and the team for the support to take it from us for 25 years, because sincerely, there has been tremendous support. And I went through a time where I lost my technician, and we were able to pre-record shows, and Planet FM accommodated that. Well, let's take a music break. And in fact, I found a song at home, which was one of our themes to Take It From Us. It's from The Found, and it's called Long Gone. Yeah, so that was The Found was long gone, and I think we used that as a theme to Planet F- to Mental Health Radio. Take It From Us from quite a long for a long period, and I can remember The Found coming in and wanting to just play music. They didn't want to say anything about their mental health. They didn't want to say anything about their lived experience. They just wanted to play music and promote, I think, this album. But so I guess music, Terry, has been an important part of Planet FM, and it's a way of moderating some serious messages that can often happen in mental health.
Yeah, well, I mean, music is one of the many ways in which we all collectively express ourselves, and things that, you know, have very long term meaning to us. People's recall of certain aspects of their lives will attach to certain pieces of music. And for those folks who are labouring under a mental health problem, to be able to get free and into the music and play it out, you know, this is wonderful stuff. And we've actually had a number of times, I know, with when Irwin was on air, live bands and play, well, not whole bands, generally quite acoustic, but, you know, two and three people in the studio playing live, and some of them have enjoyed a modicum of success over the years. And as the destigmatization campaign got underway, I think it became I think if you look back in history, artists of all stripes have quite often been dealing with mental health issues at the same time, perhaps not so recognized, but in that world of creativity, there's a lot of fringe dwelling, shall we say. So the music is a yet another wonderful way for people to tell their story, really.
Yeah, well, I think Take It From Us has certainly supported and backed many of the musicians with lived experience who have got to quite an advanced point of producing their own CDs, and we're going to hear a couple more a little bit later in the studio. But my second interview, I can remember, it was with somebody who walked in with a guitar, and I had no idea that he was a musician. The second thing I had no idea about was that he was going to talk about hearing voices. And though I'd had my own experience with depression and anxiety, I had never heard of this unwellness of hearing voices. Mm. So not only was my introduction to being a broadcaster on a mental health radio show something of a baptism of fire, because somebody got very unwell very quickly, and I was suddenly just pushed from Framework in Kingsland out to Planet FM to sort of take over. But I did have the benefit of having been a journalist and had worked for the BBC. But yeah, it was a bit of a baptism of fire, but it's been also a huge boost in my own personal confidence, and I think that's something that's so wonderful about Planet FM and what it offers in terms of a community voice.
Well, it's inclusive, you know. All of the people, regardless of what, you know, what you're dealing with at the time, have a story to tell and have a place in it. And you can turn on any amount of media and not see something that represents your own life, your own culture, your own language, or your own experience. And here's an opportunity for people to share that, and it's meaningful. It's meaningful because everywhere out there in the audience, there are people who go, oh my God, I thought I was the only one, or, oh, I didn't realise that, you know, that was happening to other folks. And it's just constant points of identification with people in their lives. So the Hearing Voices episode, we did have one interesting event in the old AUT premises. One of the members of the team at that time had come into the recording studio. They had done a live program. I think they were going to pre-record some little cuts or an interview or something. And in the studio, you have quite often your operator is in one room, and then you're in the studio with headphones and things, and the headphones may be lying on the table before you get started. On this occasion, this gentleman sat down and the technician was starting to play some material back, but they hadn't got to the point of recording, and some headphones were sitting on the table, and suddenly he started to get incredibly anxious and started looking all around the room and getting very antsy, and the technician said, hey, can you put your headphones on now, please? And he's going, what? And he says, and the voice has stopped. And he put the headphones on and he said, what's going on? And he said, oh, no, I was just playing some stuff back. And he went, oh, thank goodness, he said, I thought my voices had come back.
Oh, really? Because one of the trainings, I think, with hearing voices is they have to put headphones on to counter the...
To muffle it. In this case, yeah. the sound was coming from nowhere that he could identify in the room, so he thought that it was in his head. So, you know, that's a very real experience of something and of dealing day by day with the illnesses that people have to cope with.
And I think one of the great things in having a mental health radio show is that people can learn that they're not alone with that particular illness, mm-hmm. that there are a whole lot of other people out there that have illnesses or mental health experience, which we talk about on radio. So the quality of some of those first mental health broadcasts, they were a bit, pioneering, I suppose?
No, because I think the team was very well managed with Sue Eller and Irwin in particular. And presumably, I don't know how much pre-production they did back at Framework and so on, but they always knew what they were about and who they wanted to talk to. And they did got a really good variety of coverage from all sorts of people. And the result of that, in fact, was over... probably a 5-year period, the program won 2 national awards through the Radio Awards, which is an industry-wide award system that operates. And it was really, I know for those who went to the first award ceremony, which was at Sky City, and it was, you know, all lights and bells and very flash, and you got all dressed up and there were photographers and stuff like that, that experience for particularly those who on the team who were still dealing with mental health and stuff, to be able to walk up onto a stage in front of a national group of broadcasters and say, we made something that was such an effective communication that's award-winning, and we did it from our position and our experience of mental health. And it was a huge boost to their understanding of the fact that really they do have a part, and that they can be equal to or better than others in that process.
So. Yeah, well, a great example of people with lived experience of mental health being included.
Exactly. You're at those awards when nobody had ever been at those awards as the makers of programs and as people who had done it sufficiently well for it to actually be acknowledged in that way.
Yeah, and I think it was a huge thrill to Declan Curran, who's the current technician on Mental Health Radio, Take It From Us, and myself, to be runners-up in that national award in the community section in, I think it was 2013, and I know that Declan posted it on our Facebook page, and he showed off the award, and I've got a framed award at my home, and when I was doing Airbnb and entertaining or hosting a lot of people, many people saw that award and remarked about it. So, yeah. Well, let's take another music break, and we're honouring New Zealand artists, music artists with lived experience, and we've got one with from Sam RB. So I think it's called Medicate Me to Madness.
Asking the questions that I am not. lived my life, it may well be you invisible for all the world to see. Had you walked in my shoes for the times that I had, you might find yourself silenced in my seat, asking the questions that I am not. Please don't flatter yourself by assuming you're better than us. Yeah, we're all different, that's true, but we are much the same. We are much the same. We are much the same too.
So that's Sam RB with Medicate Me to Madness, and Sam RB used to work for Mind and Body and the Like Minds program, and Take It From Us was funded by Like Minds, which of course is the campaign to address discrimination and stigma in mental health. And I guess our guest Terry is alluded to that, you know, in those early years, that discrimination and stigma, they would have been some of the things that the early shows of Take It From Us probably addressed.
I think it was huge. I think that campaign made a 180 degree turnaround on public awareness of these things, and really necessary to happen, and I think probably incredibly valuable for the mental health community overall.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that we were able to do with some initiatives from a group of people with lived experience on Waiheke Island was to sort of have a sister show on Waiheke Island on Waiheke Radio, and I used to go over there every Friday and just help them interview people. So it was probably, and it was such a small little studio, you know, and you'd squeeze in and it'd be three microphones and a little room on the other side, a bit of glass, and it was all pretty basic. So I guess that was very much what it was like when you started in the basement.
The basement, my goodness me, that was a pretty difficult space. There was no sort of air conditioning or anything else. There was, it was tiny, it was pretty much packed with equipment, and I always used to say, look, we had a kettle that leaked all over the place, so even sort of having a cup of tea or something like that, we had, you know, one desk in a corner with a single computer for administration on it, and it was basic.
Right.
It was basic. I come from, you know, professional broadcasting background, and when I first talked to the founding team who were looking for somebody to come on board, I had somebody waiting outside because I was actually driving off to the South Island,
right,
following on from this meeting, and they said to me, oh, would you like to see our studio? Because we went in the studio, we were upstairs in the student union, and I said, no, she'll be sweet, I'll sort of see you later, because I knew it would be absolutely basic and primitive. But that's the community situation in terms of funding and development. You know, this is something that has been built by volunteers and largely paid for by volunteers with some subsidy from New Zealand On Air. And, you know, starting out and building a facility like this is really, you're just scratching around for the very basic needs, and we've got past all that now.
Well, you have, but, you know, the membership is still, seems to me, although obviously, you know, Framework picks that up and I'm not a volunteer, but it does seem a reasonable monthly fee to be able to have the privilege of one's voice on radio.
Well, we still charge exactly the same today as we did 30 years ago when we began.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you've introduced the Mikey Awards, which are the annual awards, and, you know, much awaited. I think, by all broadcasters. And you've developed it to becoming a wonderful, culturally rich and diverse event. And the last Mikey Awards, it's some wonderful and colourful presentations by, I think, the Koreans.
Last one we had a ukulele band with Marion Burns in the lead, but that was the 30th anniversary one. All previous years, the Mikeys have been hosted by one of our participating communities, in terms of we provide obviously the food and drink and everything else, but all the funding for that, and then the host community prepares the food, so you get to sample food from their part of the world, and they put on the entertainment. So we've had an opportunity as a collective to experience everyone's cultures, food, special festivals, and so on. And it's a way. I mean, we're a big United Nations operation here, of people from all angles, and once again, visibility is part of what we do. You know, making the mental health perspective visible through radio, but also the website. So people's faces and cultures are very strongly represented in the website, and likewise they are at our annual event for the Mikey Awards.
Yeah, but I mean, without boasting too much, I mean, this is part of the history of, take it from us, we have won 9 consecutive Mikey Awards. We missed out last year, which was actually our 10th year. It would have been lovely to have celebrated my 10th year of broadcasting with a Mikey, but that wasn't to happen. But what were they awarded for?
Okay, the Mikeys have a lot of different categories, and the Mikey Awards received by Take It From Us have been what we call the people's choice, in that they get we have a top 10 of hits on the website. So they represent people who are coming to the website to listen to the program, because every program broadcast here is available 5 minutes after the show completes for people to listen to on demand throughout the following 5 weeks or so. And so people can come and listen day and night when they're available, or in some cases go to archives and say, gosh, you know, I really got a lot of strength from that information, or I'd like to share that with friends, and it's available online for them. So coming to the website and hitting on Take It From Us, each time that happened, the count goes up, and you were in the top 10 for that count.
Yeah, I did
say. So it's an audience response, really.
An audience response. But I have heard you say, Terry, that I think it's 8 out of 10. Is it 8 out of 10 people who listen to Planet FM listen
on it? Well, it's not just Planet FM. Radio, and the research that New Zealand On Air did some research because we have the merging technologies, and it's a case of discovering how people are beginning to use the online environment. And at the time of their research, which was about 2 years ago, they were seeing considerable growth in the younger years accessing their radio content through the web, but at that point, around about 8 out of 10 people still used radio as, you know, the live broadcast radio as their way of listening. That's not to say that some of those same people don't also go back and listen to other things online, but the preferred response is still, and it's shifting, I'm sure, you know, that'll become 7, 6 and so on, but is to actually switch on a radio and listen to a show as it's happening.
So, or switch on your mobile, which you can do.
Or switch on your mobile, and we're streaming on mobile, you know, with mobile, the website's completely mobile for podcasts and for stream.
Right, so you can listen online on your mobile, online on radio, online on the website.
Mm-hmm.
So you can listen. I've got a friend down in Nelson, and he's got an Apple. He's got an Apple computer, and I think that's he has the difficulty of listening on his Apple Mac.
Should be.
Should be able to.
Yeah, absolutely. The formats are such that you should be able to listen on it. I've got an iPhone, right. And I listen on that. It's all been designed for, regardless of what tools you're using. If you're on a mobile, you should be able to get it.
Right.
And if you're on, you can, the podcast or the stream on your desktop, your laptop, your iPad. I do quite a lot on the iPad as well. Mm. So it's generally available, and it's also downloadable. But most people really just want to play the podcast, listen to it at their convenience.
At their convenience. And that's the podcast that I have to edit after every show.
Right.
Yeah. Well, let's take another music break, and we've got a track from Johnny Madison called Song of the Streets.
Play a broken guitar, tattooed arm waves to passing car, busking for fish and chips, a smile and a cigarette. This is the song of the streets. A bus stop is your stage. Got a light and small change. Sings a song of poverty. Busted strings and ripped up jeans. This is the song of the streets. This is the song of the streets. The change in a local bar, but he gives hope in every song, sings out his heart to everyone. This is the song of the streets. This is the song of the streets. There is hope in a song. There is hope in a song.
So that's Johnny Madison with Song of the Streets, and I saw Johnny not so long ago, not as well as I would have liked to have seen him, so I was a bit shocked to have seen him on that occasion, but a great musician in the sector of mental health. Yeah, listenership, Terry. We're talking to Terry Byrne, the retiring broadcast manager at Planet FM, and her time here, 26 years, sort of, is just 1 year longer than, take it from us, has been broadcasting. Listenership is a bit of a, it's a bit of a conundrum for me personally, because we never really know how many people are listening.
No, and that's in the nature of what we do, and also in the nature of how how surveys and things are conducted. Now, surveys essentially in all media markets seem to be conducted primarily for the interests of advertisers, and as a not-for-profit, we're not in that business. And secondly, they're very, very expensive to take part in, and so the things that they are measuring are sort of age and gender, so that some marketer can come along with a product that meets that age and gender profile and know that so many people are going to hear their ads. We're in a completely different place. We're there's a lot said about niche marketing and niches and things like that. What we're here for is for people to make communications that are relevant to other people. And every program that comes to us is here because they've already got a target in mind. And in fact, sometimes it's because the target listener or the target audience is actually promoting the idea, saying we need this thing. So there's already quite a lot known about the audience. It doesn't always mean that you can count them. Not everybody, you couldn't do a piece of research. Everybody who's got a mental health crisis or difficulties or lived experience in mental health, put your hand up.
Right.
It's not going to happen. So the anonymity is actually one of the blessings of radio as well, because people feel that they can come to an interview. Some of the people that you've had on, many of the people you've had on, possibly don't want to, you know, be seen publicly. They want to have their private lives, but be able to share that with people through the medium of radio. So it's not really about head counting for profitable purpose. It's about delivering services to people that you already know need the services, because that's what you're here to do.
Sometimes the popularity of the person will determine how much sort of Facebook chatter there might be, or how much talk about that program. Just recently we did an interview on the happiness experiment, and three good things that people need to know every day to help their mental health. And Tamara Waugh was our guest, and she was the leader and founder of the happiness experiment, and it was lovely to see some chatter and traffic on Facebook, which sort of confirmed that you know, people had listened, they had congratulated Tamara for how enthusiastic she was about the happiness experiment, because we do this a little bit in a vacuum, and yet there is a lot of energy and passion put into a show like Take It From Us and all the other shows that you have on Planet FM.
And I mean, the other thing is, an audience, in a way, you need to paint in your head as a presenter or a host some individual or a few people that you can picture as being your listeners and that you're speaking to them. But an audience is largely invisible in all electronic media, but the show wouldn't be there unless the need was there. Right. And so you just have to make them the invisible guests at your table. And the other thing is, ask for their feedback. Say, you know, what did you think of that? What are you needing to hear about? What things are you struggling with? Send us an email, put something up on Facebook. Tell us the things that you need for us to access on your behalf.
Well, that's a lovely idea of, you know, coming into our second 25 years. I'm not sure that I'm going to be around to enjoy all of those, but we've just been joined by Declan Curran, who is the technician for Take It From Us. And Declan, you've had two spells with Take It From Us, and one of them, we've already talked about the thrill that I know you got personally for winning the runner-up in the Community National Radio Awards.
Absolutely.
Tell us a little bit about your feeling about that.
Absolutely, because, you know, radio is something that I've always wanted to get into for a long time, and when you look at, you know, going for the cost of doing it commercially, I come into it a different way, obviously, but I really enjoy it because it's a way for me to be able to give something back. And I think, you know, the award is as a recognition of that effort, you know, and I really am passionate about it because, you know, you could see people in current situations and people that are still to follow. And if you know you're helping at least one person to come through a traumatic time, then for me it's all worth it.
Yeah, well, I think the example of that happiness experiment, recording three good things every day, it seemed to just, you know, it's a popular campaign. They've got nearly 5,000 followers on Facebook. And so that's one of the ways, I think, Terry, to make community radio more popular is perhaps choose those things that people are supporting, maybe on Facebook, that they think are useful. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, people come to us to make a program, so we don't program the station with specific audiences in mind. It's what the community says is needed, and they come through the door and say, you know, we need this for Tongan women, or we need this for elders, or we need this for mental health. And so the programming is made up directly as a response from community need.
Mm-hmm. I mean, one of the really complimentary things is that most of the people, I'd say probably 99% of the people that I approach, are very enthusiastic about coming on the show. We had a couple of guests the other day, one peer support worker who brought his client in, and he texted me later and said, you know, it was an awesome experience for his client and for him, and a great interview as well. Mm. I mean, Declan, you know, one of the things is to have a bit of fun with this, to enjoy it, but also I think to help others. But what help does it give to your own emotional life?
I think it gives me one more thing in my week to focus on. I guess, yeah, for me, I'm just passionate about, I mean, anything electronic, technically, that sort of thing, and I enjoy it. It's can be a little bit of a challenge at times. That's, you know, always interesting. But, yeah, for me, just being able to participate in something that I'm passionate and enthusiastic about, and to get feedback from friends who are listening, that sort of thing, and know that you're actually able to, as I said before, to put something back in that I know helps people. And ferreting around for bits and pieces for the show, you know, it's exciting, because also when you come in, you never know what you're going to encounter in an interview. But yeah, it really does mean a lot to me. I really, really do enjoy it. Yeah,
well, it's lovely to have our guests leave the studio and say, well, that was fun. I thought I was going to be very anxious and uptight about it, but, you know, they're very relaxed when they leave and have enjoyed the experience. So, you know, it's a win-win if you can achieve that. And is that your sort of feeling, Terry?
Oh, well, look, people love to tell their stories. I think communication is, you know, it's the beginning of understanding. It's a public venue, a radio program, and it's a place where you can have a public conversation where people can learn so much more about other people's lives and viewpoints and so on, and for those lives and viewpoints to be real to the communities and to the audiences, you know, that they're not, you know, yet another kind of crazy show, and it's got content and substance that's real for them. That's really important, because it means that we as communities can build on the shared information and entertainment, and, you know, storytelling around the fire is a very long activity of humankind, and everybody should have access to it if they can.
I think too, actually, as I was going to put in there, the beauty of our program is that I was a bit of a recluse for a while, didn't really get out and do anything. Even going to the movies was, you know, quite an effort. And what I like about radio is, instead of somebody having to go out somewhere and partake, they can actually stay in their comfort zone, and it comes to them.
Yeah, so, it's a very companionable medium. That's it. People have it next to their bed or in their pocket, you know. It's a very close thing, and it is an intimate medium. Mm. It doesn't put you on the couch on the other side of the room and passively deliver it. It engages you.
And I think the thing too is that if you're going to a movie, you know you have to be there for a set time, whereas with the facilities that we've got, people can come in and listen 2 a.m. if they want to. Yep. And I think that helps to expand that market that we're reaching. It's brilliant, because it takes, you know, if people have busy lives or, you know, a bit distressed, they can come in and, as I say, whenever they want to. So,
Well, that's probably thanks, Terry, to the transformation of the website on Planet FM. I know that was a huge project for you. But one I would say that has been very, very successful. I mean, it's a great-looking website. It's accessible. It's easy to listen to the shows on www.planetaudio.org.nz.
And to take it from us on planetaudio.org.nz/take it from us, written as one word. Straight to your page.
It is actually a very nice, bright and colourful page. It's inviting. It makes you want to engage.
Yeah.
And it is very, very easy to access, I find.
And I must say that I'm proud that I was actually learned after some time, tribulation, how to edit the 60-minute shows down to about 25 minutes, which we can upload.
The ones on the station are as broadcast, of course. On Planet Audio are as broadcast, and you're editing it for
our own website.
For your Take It From Us website.
It's good. I do the stuff in the studio, he does the stuff out, but I sit there and make sure he doesn't sort of go wandering.
Well, it's a great comfort to have Declan there
just in case
right at the moment.
Well, it's, you know, this technology where people have fears and things, it is something actually that we can use to make sure that we're getting what we need in the way of our communications, and it can be fun. It doesn't have to be scary.
Absolutely.
Exactly. Yeah. The more fun we can make it, the better.
I think so too, and we're getting and experimenting too with a bit of variety coming in with some of the new products that we're wanting to present this year.
Well, thank you very much to Terry Byrne, who's 26 years is a just an amazing contribution to Planet FM. I guess you really were the sort of founding professional. Would that be the right?
No, I don't think that's fair. I think that the station began with a group from the Ethnic Council and from the Pacific Island community saying, look, we're not hearing our language. Our elders are feeling alienated from the culture. Our young people don't know where they come from. And they pulled $20 out of their pocket and threw it on the table and said, let's see if we can get this to happen. That was its founding. It came straight out of the heart of the community.
Oh, wonderful.
And that heart's obviously still there, beating strong too.
It sure is.
That's our program on Take It From Us to celebrate 25 years of continuous broadcasting on Planet FM. We're rather proud of that milestone, and we hope that our listeners are happy with the diversity of Take It From Us these days.
Absolutely.
Yep, congratulations all round for 25 excellent years.
Thank you, and enjoy you going into retirement.
Oh, yes.
Enjoy.
It's hard to imagine just yet, but we'll get there.